Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty of ashes, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall they stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Well, Isaiah chapter 61 brings before us the two advents of the Messiah. Verses 1 to 3 is a complete unit in which we have the first advent of the Messiah and his ministry during those 3 years. And then from verse 4 to verse 11, we have the second advent of the Messiah. And now it's not the ministry of the Messiah, it's rather the millennial kingdom of the Messiah that is brought before us in this latter half of the chapter. Verses 1 to 3 form a complete unit. It's very interesting to observe that in this unit we've got, first of all, Messiah and his power, followed by Messiah and his program, and then Messiah and his proclamation. So those first 3 verses we know definitely speak of the Lord Jesus, because when we go to Luke chapter 4, verse 16 onwards, when the book of Isaiah was given unto the Lord Jesus when he came into the synagogue at Nazareth and stood up for to read, he turned to this very chapter. Although, of course, no chapters, no verses, not in the scroll that was given to him, but he found a place. He found a precise place. And he read, and he stopped at a precise moment in the reading. But we do know from Luke 4 Isaiah chapter 61 has all to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, Israel's Messiah, his first advent and then his second advent. You observe too that in these first three verses of Isaiah 61, we cover a wide scope of time. It begins with the Lord having been anointed with the Spirit of God at his baptism, when he was baptized of John in the Jordan. When you go to the end of verse 3, we're at the millennial reign. We're into the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus. And in these three verses, we have this wide scope from his first advent to his second advent, from his baptism by John the Baptist, right through to his millennial kingdom. And that's why you call it, we have first of all, the power of the Messiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is not the first time in this prophecy that we have reference to the Holy Spirit and the Messiah. In chapter 11, we read that the Holy Spirit would rest upon him. You might link that back to Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 9, where we read that the dove that was let out by Noah from the ark found no rest for the sole of its foot. When we come to Isaiah chapter 11, we find the Spirit of God finds rest upon the person of the Messiah. They'll be confirmed, of course, by John 1 and verse number 32. For John declares at that point, he declares that he actually saw, when it was said to him, when you see the Holy Spirit descending as a dove and abiding upon him, that would identify who the person was. And John said, I saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. So we have the Holy Spirit resting upon the Messiah in chapter 11. When we go to chapter 42, we read, did we not, just not so long ago, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul rejoiceth, delighteth. And then he said, I have put my Spirit upon him. And a number of things are said, with the Holy Spirit having been put upon the Messiah. But it ends up like this, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged. So the Holy Spirit of God resting upon him, the Holy Spirit of God put upon him, so he did not fail, nor was he discouraged in his ministry. But now we learn where the Messiah is saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is put upon me. And so we find the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry at his first advent was found in the person of the Holy Spirit. And Luke is very interesting, for he tells us that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He tells us he returned full of power in his gospel. And here we see now the Holy Spirit, he said, he's been put upon him. Then he tells us that he was anointed with that Holy Spirit to preach. And now we have the program of the Messiah. He's to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He was sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance unto the captives, and of course to set at liberty those that were bound. And so we find that the program of the Messiah at his first advent had to do with these things that are so clearly marked out for us by Luke in his record in chapter 4. The interesting thing is this. When you read the Lord Jesus reading from Isaiah 61, he adds something there which you do not have here. He says to open the eyes of them that are blind. But of course the Lord can do that. For after all, he is the author of Scripture. And so we find that the program of the Lord Jesus Christ at his first advent was first of all to preach good tidings unto the meek. And then, of course, to heal the brokenhearted. And we know the gospel records. We know that delightful incident when the Lord came into the city of Nain. And he saw a widow woman weeping, following the cordage of her only son. And the Lord Jesus Christ, having compassion upon her, he raised her son restored him back to his widowed mother, and he healed the brokenhearted. We all know the story of Martha and Mary, who were weeping when the Lord Jesus Christ came to the place where Lazarus was buried. When he saw them weeping, we simply read these words, "And Jesus wept." And the one who wept with those that were weeping was the one who could bind up the brokenhearted. And so he did when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Of course, we read it again when Mary Magdalene on that day of resurrection was in the garden weeping. Again, the Lord came and he bound up the brokenhearted, seen in Mary Magdalene, simply by saying, "Mary," and she realized her Lord was indeed risen from the dead. So we see the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ at his first advent. And you can go on through these statements of Isaiah 61, linked through to Luke chapter 4 from verse 16 onwards, and see how real and how true the prophecy was concerning the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came as Israel's Messiah. But of course, he not only had a program, there was also the proclamation. He came that he might proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, that expression covers that whole period of time, right from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the descent of the Holy Spirit, even unto this present day. The period of the acceptable year of the Lord has continued all these centuries, and still it does. And so we not only have the period of the Lord's ministry when he was here at his first advent, we have his proclamation. And that proclamation concerning the acceptable year of the Lord continues unto the present. But then also, he was also going to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. Now that brings us, of course, to that time when great tribulation will be experienced by the Jews during the reign of the beast and the false prophet of Revelation chapter 13. That would be the day when the Jews will be persecuted. They'll be suffered as never before. And so we find that will be brought to a conclusion. That period of time when the beast is reigning and persecuting the people of God, that will be brought to an end when the Lord Jesus Christ appears a second time to execute the day of vengeance of our God. And that day of vengeance of our God is the subject matter of chapter 63. And so we find how this introductory to this chapter covers such a wide scope. But then we find after the day of the vengeance of our God, we have the Lord Jesus Christ commencing his millennial kingdom. And therefore we read, do we not, there will be a word of comfort to those who have suffered so much during that time of great tribulation. And so we read, do we not, about these three things concerning the godly Jews. When the Lord comes back again, things are going to be replaced and reversed.
To give unto them beautiful ashes.
So he's going to bring to them, he's going to give to them beauty for ashes. Now you know that ashes in the scriptures often linked with suffering and with sorrow. And the ashes of suffering and sorrow that the godly remnant has endured through those years of tribulation are all going to be changed. And the Messiah at his second advent is going to bring comfort to them, and he's going to change those ashes into beauty. And then
the oil of joy from
he's going to bring to them give to them the oil of joy
for mourning,
for their days of mourning. We will not be able to comprehend what the Jews will suffer during those awful tribulation days. But there'll not only be sorrow and suffering, there will be mourning. But when the Lord comes, he's going to reverse all that for the godly remnant, and he'll give to them the oil of joy for their mourning. And then last but not least, he's going to give to them the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so we learn in these opening verses how the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back a second time, is going to reverse the experience of his people, the godly remnant of Israel. That moment when all Israel should be saved, and they're being now clothed with a garment of praise, the spirit of heaviness will be lifted from them. So you see in these opening three verses, it does cover a whole scope of time, different time periods, all linked with the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ as Israel's Messiah, leading on to his second advent. So from verse 4, now through to verse 11, actually it does go on to verse 5 of chapter 62. We now have not the ministry of the Messiah at his first advent, we have the millennial kingdom of the Messiah when he comes a second time. We're told something of the character of that kingdom. We find in chapter 60 and verse number 20, there will be a kingdom of everlasting light. In verse 7, there will be a kingdom of everlasting joy. In verse 8 of our chapter, there will be a kingdom of the everlasting covenant. And so we find the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he will establish at his second advent, will be a kingdom of everlasting light. No need of the sun or the moon. The kingdom of everlasting joy, and to be a kingdom based upon an everlasting covenant. But then we find in these verses, from verse 4 through to verse 11, we first learn something about this kingdom, this millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus in relation to Israel. See, she shall be called the priest of our God. So we find there will be priesthood in that kingdom. And not only will she be called the priest of our God, but ministers also for God. So Israel will be priest, and that will be representative of the nations before God. And they'll be the servants of God unto the nations. And so we find there we have the idea of priesthood. But then, of course, as already suggested, there is that character of the kingdom which will be marked by perpetuity. It's an everlasting kingdom because it's based upon an everlasting covenant. And that everlasting covenant will mean everlasting light, everlasting joy for the subjects of that kingdom. That's why the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's called the millennial kingdom because for 1,000 years, that kingdom will be seen as a material kingdom, a physical kingdom, here upon the earth for 1,000 years. But then that kingdom has an eternal character and it goes into the eternal state. And so we find we have the perpetuity of the kingdom. But when you get to verse 11, of course, the kingdom will be marked by praise, or righteousness and praise, says verse number 11. And so we have in these verses, now the kingdom, that is the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back to reign at his second advent. Now let's have a look. You look at verse 4, it's going to involve a work of rebuilding. And so we find those waste places and those cities that have been made desolate over the generations of time, they're all going to be rebuilt. And so in verse 4, we have the rebuilding of the city, the rebuilding of the city surrounding Jerusalem. And we find that this will be the great work that shall be carried on with the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to reign. So is this rebuilding work in verse 4. In verse 5, the people of God are given rest. There'll be the rest of the people of God. For we find, we read of strangers. We read of the sons of the aliens. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to be the shepherds to feed the flock. They're going to be the ploughmen. They're going to be the vine dressers. As it almost seems, is it not? Israel will be the instigator of the work. But it looks to me as though in that millennial era, the Gentiles will be the laborers. They will feed the flock. And they will actually be the ploughmen, and they will be the vine dressers. And so we read in verse number 5, we read of the flock. And of course, we read of the fertility of the land. And we read of the fruitfulness that's produced by the vine dressers. And so from this reconstruction or building work in verse number 4, and now we have rest in verse number 5. When we go to verse number 6, we now find we have representation. Now the remnant of Israel that will go into the kingdom, that will be all Israel shall be saved according to Romans chapter 11. So that all that go into the kingdom will be all Israel. Again, there will be 12 tribes consisting that Israel. And we're told, first of all, that Israel in that millennial day, in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be named priests of our God. Interesting, isn't it? When we go back to Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 6, when God took up this nation, the great purpose of God was that they should be a nation of priests. The whole nation should be priests. That was God's intention in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. It will actually be realized in the millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, when Israel shall be named priest to our God, or of our God. And so we find that what we have here is this. In Israel's history, failure came in. The whole nation should have been a priesthood, but failure came in, and the priesthood was then restricted to a tribe. That is the tribe of Levi. But then there was a further restriction, and priesthood in Israel was restricted now to the house of Aaron. So Aaron and his sons represented the priesthood as far as the nation of Israel was concerned. But there will be no restriction, not to the priesthood, in the millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Israel will then be a kingdom of priests. What for? To represent the peoples of the world, and that before God. So Israel will fulfill her purpose that God had in view when he first took her up in the book of Exodus. All waiting now for his fulfillment at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only will she be a kingdom of priests, she'll be ministers for God unto the peoples of the earth. So you see, they'll not only be a nation of priests, they'll be servants of God. And through Israel, there'll be blessings to all the peoples of the earth. Again, that's what God intended. For he said to Abraham, he said, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. But of course, Israel failed in her mission. Israel should have been the missionaries unto all the people of the world. But she failed. But in this coming day, in this kingdom day, the nation that will be a nation of priests will be servants. They'll be ministers unto the peoples of the earth, for they will then be what they should have been. They'll be the missionaries. They'll be the servants of God unto all the peoples of the earth.
And in their glory shall you boast yourself.
They said, you see, they're going to actually enjoy the riches of the Gentiles. In other words, during that millennial day, when Israel is fulfilling her proper place, according to the purpose of God, she will enjoy the riches of the Gentiles. And also, of course, will enjoy the riches, but the very glory, she will boast in the glory of the Gentiles. For the glory of the Gentiles will be the result of the ministry of of Israel in that millennial day. And so we find that as Israel ministers unto the Gentiles, she will then eat of the riches of the Gentiles and boast in their glory. So that is what we have then in verse number 6. Now, verse number 7, we have now what's verse 7?
For your shame you shall have double.
Oh yes, there's going to be restoration. See, if ever a nation has been put to shame, If ever a nation has been made to suffer throughout generation after generation, it's the nation of Israel. But now says the prophet Isaiah, in that millennial day that's coming, her shame will be rewarded with double. And all that she ever suffered, she will have a double portion. Now, it may be difficult to understand just what it's meant, because, you know, this word double is used in a number of places regarding Israel. But I could suggest, of course, number one. You see, Israel, says God unto Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn son. Now, we know the firstborn son is not necessarily the one who was born first. The firstborn son was Benjamin. Benjamin had a double portion, maybe in that millennial kingdom day. Israel will receive a double portion for all her shame, for all that she suffered. She'll have a double portion. Or it may, of course, mean that actually the shame and the suffering that she endured over the generations of time will actually be answered with the compensated with a double portion. And so we find that there will be that compensation for all that Israel has suffered and all the shame she's endured, as depicted for us in verse number 7. And in verse 8,
"For I, the Lord, I love judgment, I hate robbery."
There is some problem with this verse, of course. "I, the Lord, love judgment." He says, "I hate robbery of burnt offerings." I can only just make a suggestion. What the Lord is saying, "I am the Lord, I love judgment," you see. But he said, "I do hate burnt offerings brought to me, that have offered unto me, that are of an unjust nature. Offerings that have been unjustly taken. To offer his burnt offerings unto God." And so we find that, although it's a difficult verse, we find God is establishing that he hates that which is not just. And therefore, we have that in verse 8. And in verse 9, we have,
"And their seed shall be unknown among the Gentiles."
You see, we're going to have now recognition of that nation. In the millennial kingdom, the Gentile nations of the world, all the people of the earth, will recognize Israel to be the seed, to be the seed of God. And a seed that's been blessed of God. Because Israel will be blessed of God in that millennial era. The Gentiles, through them, will also be blessed. And so from the last two verses, verses 10 and 11, we have now set out something of the very character of that kingdom. It's like unto a garden where things are sown into the earth, and the earth produces that which is sown. And so says the prophet, regarding Israel in a future day, it will be seen in Israel both righteousness, and there, of course, will be peace, and there will be every blessing for the whole world when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to reign. And in that millennial kingdom, righteousness and praise will break forth, and that before the Gentile world, all the peoples of the earth, and they will recognize that Israel are indeed the seed of God, that special people, that special nation, and through them, righteousness and praise shall be seen, and that by the people of all the world. And we trust that going through this chapter may just enlarge our vision a little. The first advent of the Messiah, followed by the second advent of the Messiah. And that second advent we're still waiting for, prior to which the rapture of the church will take place, so that we can come out from heaven with him when he comes to establish his kingdom upon the earth. Now we trust that's been some help, and we look to God to bless his word to us all.